This is the So You Talk to Cows podcast. I'm Erica Arlbeck. In this season, we're focusing on risk and crisis communications. When we plan out our communication strategy, much of it focuses on communicating with the media. So for this episode, I'm talking to a member of the media. Emily Leonard has been a friend of mine for close to 20 years. She grew up right here in the Lubbock area, and we worked together at KLBK-TV here in Lubbock, and our families have remained friends ever since. Emily is now the main anchor at WTVA in Tupelo, Mississippi. Her husband, Matt, is the chief meteorologist at her station, and you'll hear her talk about him quite a bit. Living in Mississippi, they have hurricanes, tornadoes, and other natural disasters, so she shares us how her television station creates a plan for the threat of severe weather. Also, she provides her tips for communicating with media in a developing situation. Emily, welcome to the podcast.
Tell me about you, your career, your background, what you're doing now, and how you got there.
So I'm originally from Texas. I went to high school in Plainview, Texas, and I was always into speech and debate and acting and things like that, but I wasn't really sure what I was going to do as far as a career. And, you know, my parents always watched the news. That was just kind of what our generation of parents, what they did at 6 o'clock every night. And one day I just remember watching the news and I'm watching these two presenters. In fact, I think it was Karen and Abner, probably. and I was like, I can do that. Really not knowing what news meant, that it's not just reading words, but I was like, I can do that. And so my mom found out that South Plains College in Levelland had a really great broadcasting department, one of the best ones. And so I was like, okay, well, I can go there. I can try it. I can get my basics out of the way a lot cheaper, and it'll be an easier transition into a university. And so I went there, and that's when I really fell in love with it. We did a lot of the behind the scenes and writing, and I was like, I really enjoy this. And then I went to Tech and finished up my degree. Now, while I was at Tech, one of my professors from South Plains got me connected with the Fox stations.
Yeah.
And they also had radio stations. And so my very first job in any of this during college was working for an AM radio station there in Lubbock, board hopping Texas Rangers games and board hopping like local talk shows and doing a little bit of radio news at the same time. And since Fox had not only the radio side, but the television side, I was able to see both. And then I did public relations in Lubbock, which is, you know, completely different than television, but at the same time, not really.
Right.
I mean, especially not now. Really. Instead of giving the news, I was literally giving someone the news. And so it was, I think I learned more doing that job than I did working at radio stations or television stations, or I did a promotions internship at Channel 11 once. Like, I learned more during the PR job for the year and a half that I did it. And it also helped that my boss at the time, he was a former news director. And so he kind of guided me. He allowed me to do video news releases for, believe it or not, a lot of agricultural things. Learned a lot about actually what my dad did for Bayer Crop Science and Cargill and all of those things. But he really taught me how to write a story and how to put things together. And because of those video news releases, I was able to put together a reel. And that's when I got what I call my first big girl reporting job at KLBK.
Cool.
Yes, it was very cool. And I, you know, quickly moved up where I reported for a while. And then I moved to Nightside, which is always the spot everybody wanted. I went to Weekend Anchor for a while. And then since it's a duopoly, I switched over to the ABC side to KMAC and did the morning show there for 5 years. But I mean, of course, that's where I met my husband and we got married. And, you know, it came to a point where we were going to have to make decisions in our career. And, God was the only reason I can explain how we are in Tupelo today, because we had never heard of Tupelo. It all happened so quickly. They flew us out here and it all just fell into place. It was, you know, we bought a house and sold a house like within a week. And then all of a sudden we're here. It was just like a whirlwind. And there were so many things along the way that just said, this is where God wanted us to be. And we stepped out in faith and did this. And I'll never forget that I was still in Lubbock, finishing up my job, selling the house, doing a few things. And Matt had already moved here. And you know, this was at the beginnings of Facebook. And I remember watching like what people would say on Facebook back when I read comments. I no longer read Facebook comments.
Good. Good.
People hated Matt. Matt, my husband, Matt, he's our chief meteorologist, and he replaced a longtime 30-year beloved veteran, and who is also one of the big reasons we're here. He wanted us here. People hated Matt. I mean, who is this kid? Da, 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 da. He looks like Opie. He looks, you know, it's the red hair. And I was just fuming mad. And 2 weeks after he went on the air, back in April of 2011 is when we had the largest tornado outbreak in history.
Wow.
Yeah. And ever since then, it has just been, I hate to use the phrase a whirlwind, but it really has. I mean, we're like, okay, well, this is why we're here. And I eventually got a job on air. And so now I'm the evening anchor, a la Swiss Army knife, producing live shots, writing, web, you know, everything. We're all one man bands in this business now. And so I just kind of do a little bit of everything. But mainly I'm the evening anchor at 5, 6, and 10.
As a member of the media, covering crises and natural disasters, that's just part of the job. But as a resident of Mississippi, it seems like you all have had more than your share of tornadoes and hurricanes. It's just part of your life now. So tell us what your station does to cover these types of disasters and the service that you all provide to your viewers.
So when we lived in Lubbock, I thought we lived in Tornado Alley.
Mm-hmm.
I clearly am wrong, because we have tornadoes here. And it's like you said, it's a part of our daily lives. Like, it is just absolutely terrifying and bizarre that it happens as much as it happens. And like, we get them all year round, it feels like. We've had issues during Christmas. I mean, it's just strange. But I will say, since Matt has moved here and we're here, it feels like we do cover things a lot differently. The way that our station handles, especially a natural disaster, it's a lot of prep work, you know, especially from our weather department. It's a lot of prep work. It's a lot of explaining what could happen and trying to get that across to people in a very basic, simplistic, and clear way. And whether that is on the air, online, or on social media, like, we're doing all of those things. As far as the newsroom goes, you know, our news director now is really good about a plan. You know, he gets with the meteorologist. He talks about where we think this is going to be. So we line up reporters on where we would want them.
Mm-hmm.
And also, and then the other part of it is we do tell people where tornado shelters are. Cool. In the last decade that we've been here, a lot of schools have done giant domes for tornado shelters. A lot of cities have put in tornado shelters. And so getting that across, telling people this is where you can get alerts, because you need those alerts as part of, as we call them, layers of protection.
Mm-hmm.
Because if your weather radio fails, you need a backup. You're not always outside to hear tornado sirens. So you need to have, you know, all of the alerts on your phone. And there's a couple specific ones that we promote that work really well. And So a lot of that is just getting people in the mindset of this is happening. And we've had so many here that people do take it seriously now. You're always going to have that one random person who's like, well, if it's my time, it's my time. And they go stand out on the front porch and send us videos. But for the most part, people really seem to heed the warning. And because they know now how serious it really can be. So on the news aspect before the event happens, it's a lot of just trying to inform people where it's going to be, what to do, those sorts of things. Now, when the event actually hits, when the storms start to hit, and I specifically talking about storms or hurricanes because we have them so much, the actual details of like where this storm is, basically weather takes over. They go wall to wall. They're covering, they're telling people storm tracks. They're, my husband's really good about, you know, if you live near, Mississippi is very rural. We cover more than 21 counties. Mm-hmm. We cover a very, our DMA is bigger than Lubbock's, believe it or not.
Okay.
Yeah, we are a bigger DMA, but it's very spread out. And so, Matt will say a lot of people live in these tiny little communities that are, you know, three homes.
Okay. Yeah.
And so he will say, if you live near this community or you live near this church, because we have churches everywhere, country churches everywhere, you know, if you live near this church, you need to take shelter now. And so that we rely heavily on them. Once the storm has passed, the news, us, our job is to start making phone calls, checking Twitter, checking Facebook, dispatching reporters to where they need to go safely, mm-hmm. obviously. And that's a big bulk of it, is just getting out information from law enforcement, first responders, EMA directors, those type of people. And then the days that follow, it's kind of the same thing. It's showing people the damage, talking to real people. After that night, we don't necessarily need to hear from officials.
Okay.
Unless they really need to get a message out. Most of the time, officials, we want to hear from the people that were affected.
Sure.
And so we'll go out into the communities. We will follow the weather service to see their survey, to see if it was straight line winds or if it was a tornado and maybe how strong the tornado was. We also go out and talk to people about what, when we tell the public what to do with the damage, what to do with the debris, where to go if it's a big tornado like we had back this past April, where you can go for help. And that's a lot of, that's a lot of how we handle it, at least for a natural disaster.
Well, then let's pivot then and talk about a crisis, not necessarily a natural disaster. What are some of the things that you all do, or, you know, I don't know, maybe give us some examples of different types of crises that you've covered and how you all go about with your coverage of that.
So breaking news is never something you can really prepare for, but it's also what we live and breathe for, because
so funny.
It's out of the norm, and your adrenaline is going. Last year, and we may live in a small town, but crazy things happen everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, we had this, I'll say kid, he was in his 20s, steal a small plane from our local airport. And he knew enough about the plane to get it up in the air. And he was circling around West Tupelo.
Oh, no.
And had called law enforcement and said he was going to crash into Walmart. And this was early on a Saturday morning, like real early. And then he kind of went off to the west and like circled out, and crazy, because people in town could see this plane circling around them and hearing them because he was flying so low, thinking, yes, this guy's going to crash into my house. Mm-hmm. He's going to crash into Walmart. Nobody knew what was going on. And just so happened that my husband and I were in Florida at the time. And because of issues back at our station, we didn't have the right people there early on a Saturday morning to be able to get us on the air.
Sure.
So my husband pulled up, it's an app called FlightAware, and we were able to go live enough on television that we were following this plane via FlightAware on where it was going. Matt was doing this from Florida. I'm next to him on my computer trying to get details from anyone I could find. And it was one of those things, you know, you have to stop when you're doing breaking news, you have to stop and think like, okay, what are the different things I can talk about? I can't just talk about he's circling over this place. Okay, well, you have to think a plane has gas. Eventually he's going to run out of gas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do we know what type of plane it is? Do we know where it came from, whose it was? And so you can find a lot of that information online, public. And so I'm over there doing that, relaying messages to him. He's on air and somebody else is back here in Tupelo trying to get that on the air. We've got reporters out physically following this plane in a car.
My gosh.
I mean, it was insane. I've covered some breaking news stories, but this one was definitely one of the strangest ones.
Uh-huh.
Eventually, the plane landed in a field in the middle of nowhere.
Good.
North Mississippi, middle of a soybean patch. And just, you know, the pilot basically had a death wish. You know, he is really, really sad. And he knew enough about planes to get it in the air, but not enough to land it.
Oh.
So, you know, and he was also like Facebooking from the plane, and he was eventually taken into custody and, you know, the whole thing, and thankfully no one was hurt. But handling that situation for us was not only just trying to get the information and find information, it was also trying to figure out where he is and how to get this on the air, because it was a Saturday morning, you know, we've got weekend crews and we're trying to tell them how to get on the air.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to get this information out to the public because we have people freaking out. And we've got videos of, you can just zoom this plane. And so that was one of the strangest ones. And it's, you know, you just kind of have to keep your head on your shoulders and just hunker down and do the best that you can.
Yeah.
And other breaking news events, a lot of it is, you know, we've got to get a reporter to whatever scene it is. Sometimes it's multiple reporters. And then we have to start calling law enforcement and calling mayors or whoever it is to try to get the information. And sometimes it is very difficult to get the information. The public sometimes doesn't always understand, why aren't we running this story? Well, we can't get it confirmed because these people aren't talking to us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Example, yesterday we hear rumors of a coach being arrested. We know it happened, but we have no one to confirm it. And we can't just go on the air and say, hey, guess what?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. That's very responsible.
Very responsible news people. We try yes. really, really hard.
Yes.
To, you know, facts only.
So in these crisis situations, yeah, be it a, you know, you're trying to get in contact with law enforcement because of a rogue plane or a natural disaster, what are some things that communicators in either the emergency response system or, you know, anybody, what are some good things that they do that are helpful to you so that you can get information out? What do the good communicators do?
The good communicators are the ones that give us anything.
Oh, yeah.
Especially during a tornado. So we have every county here has an emergency management manager, sorry, EMA. They all have an EMA director. We have their numbers. And so we will text them and we will call them. We are completely aware that they are busy. We know that. And some communicators think, I don't have anything to tell you. That's telling me something. Telling me that you don't have any reports as of right now is a report. And because we're able to say, okay, we just talked with Lee Bowdery with the Lee County EMA. He told us right now he doesn't have anything to report. Of course, that can change. This is a fluid situation. So we're going to check back in with him in, half an hour or so and see if we can get something else. Good communicators give us something, even if they think it's nothing. And that is always really helpful. And we know in these crises, they are busy. But at that point, sometimes television or the app is the only way somebody who's been hit by a tornado has a way of getting information. And we have some really great sheriffs. And I can always text them and say, hey, what you got? And it's just it's something that's short and quick. We got reports of trees down. Okay, do you know where? Not yet. And part of our job is, and this is something that I know law enforcement really stresses with us, is please tell people to stay home. We get a lot of looky-loos. People want to go see that damage. And the last tornado we had in Amory, Mississippi, this was back at the end of March. One of the biggest issues was after the storm hit, whether it's well-intentioned or not, you have people that want to get out and either help or see it. That does, and we had a problem where ambulances and things could not get in to help because of cars and traffic.
Oh,
And
that's
so
awful.
part of our job is just simply telling people, please stay home. Please. These and then my husband specifically wears a shirt, a button-up shirt with a pocket. Because what he will do is I've got, one of our sheriffs, I'll just Greg Pollan is his name. He's with a county south of us. And he's really good. And I'm like, hey, I got Sheriff Pollan from Calhoun County. He's on the phone. Will you talk to him? And Matt will put the phone in his pocket on speakerphone and say, hey, you're on air. What do you need to tell people? And it's just, hey, and if they hear it from that sheriff, hey, we just need people to stay home, or hey, we need you to avoid this particular area because that's where it was really hit. And even if it's no more than 15 seconds, that's all we need. The thing about breaking news and the thing about natural disasters and covering natural disasters is it's never going to be pretty. It's never going to be clean. It's a moving and changing story the entire time. And you're never going, it's never going to be this beautiful, neat, prepackaged little newscast. And so, okay, you tell us you got trees down and a house blown away. Well, you get there, the house isn't necessarily blown away. Maybe the roof is off of it. Things change. And so they just have to realize, good communicators realize that things are changing and that any information is information.
Good.
That's one of the biggest things. And for us, we not only call just EMA directors, we're calling law enforcement, we're calling mayors, we're calling police chiefs. We've even called the gas stations down the street to ask them to see what they're seeing. Just to get the information from people.
What do you wish people knew about the media? I mean, we could go into this for a long time, but specifically talking about disasters and or crises, what do you wish people knew about the media or knew about the way that you're doing your job? Just the general lay public.
I wish they understood that it was a moving situation. And I wish they also understood that just because it didn't happen in your town doesn't mean it didn't affect other people in our area. I wish they understood that we cover more than just your city. Why are you talking about this? This is, you know, we, like I said, we have a big DMA. I mean, that's in Columbus, which is an hour away from Tupelo. Why are you covering them? Because lives are in danger. And if it's one life that's in danger, it matters because it could be your life. And so sometimes I wish the community would understand that we're not just up there to peacock and show off and look at all of our fancy graphics. No, what we genuinely, especially local news, we genuinely care about the community and their safety. It's not a show. It really is just trying to help and to give us a little bit of grace when we're covering up your favorite television show and when we are constantly talking about what's happening in this city that was blown to smithereens and yours wasn't. Like, there's a reason for that. And I wish people were a little bit more tender-hearted when it came to that.
When I worked in local news, one time we had the little weather graphic at the bottom of the screen, and several people called because we were blocking the golf ball. There was a golf tournament on, and our little graphic was blocking the golf ball. And I'm like, yeah, but there's big severe weather happening, sir. I'm sorry.
And the thing is I can't speak for all stations, but our station has a very specific set of guidelines for when to go live, when to cover things up. You know, we don't just willy-nilly flip a switch and cover the voice. Not only are we covering up your show and we're trying to get this information out, we're covering up advertisements. That's money for our station. And so, you know, we have to deal with that after the fact and make it up to our advertisers. So this isn't something we just do for the fun of it. We do it because somebody's in danger and we need to tell them. You know, when we first started, you know, you couldn't go back and watch these episodes. Now you can go back and watch the episode the next day, like online.
Those are all the questions that I have, but do you have anything else that you would like to add or any other things that you'd like for people to know or helpful tips or anything like that?
Local news isn't the enemy. I will say the last few years have been difficult in people thinking that we have some sort of an agenda or we have some sort of, we're just spewing hate and lies. And local news is really just that. It's local. It's what's happening in your community. And the thing is I hope people realize that we live in this community. My children go to school here. You know, I spend my money here. I have a home here. Like, this is my community too. And I just would like for people to understand that. And then when it, like, we genuinely care. The tornado that happened in Amory back in the end of March, that was a really hard one. Really, really tough. And it affects us too. My husband and I believe everybody needs a counselor because the things that we see, the things that we report are tough because they happen here. Yeah, we report some national things, but for the most part, what we've got is here. So what hurts our community hurts us. And I would just love for people to know that we are real people that love them and want the best for them. And the thing is I've never lived in a place that has been so welcoming for, especially me and my husband being outsiders, if you will. Except for those first 2 weeks, but they've been very warm and welcoming and genuinely most people are very kind, but you just have those few that just think that, you know, we're making up an agenda. I don't have time to take a shower most days. I don't have much less have time to write down an agenda. So I just to understand that, you know, we go to church with you. We, you know, we want to know your story and we want to help as much as possible. And, you know, just what you see on TV is not us. You know, we do go out into these communities and do things and try to be a part of it. And I wish communicators would understand that at least giving us something is better than telling us nothing. And even just saying, you know, this situation happened. We can't give you any details right now. Here's when we could or might be able to give you that information.
Yeah, definitely. The media is a critical player in getting information out to the target audience quickly. And I love the way you've described how your station works to share that information. This is really helpful to all communicators. And with that, we need to wrap it up. Big thank you, Emily Leonard of WTVA in Tupelo, Mississippi. It's always so much fun talking to you. So You Talk to Cows is produced by me, Erica Earlbeck, with production support from the Department of Agricultural Education and Communications at Texas Tech University. If you like the show, please click that follow button, share it with your friends, and check back often for our next episode. And also, please check out my new book, The Crisis Communications Guide for Agriculture, Food, and Natural Resources, available now from Xanadu Publishing. That's Xanedu Publishing. The link is in the show notes, and it will be available soon on Amazon.